And is this where we're starting to get into? I'm looking at your diagram again. We're starting to talk about not just managed security service providers, but also other kinds of service partners.
And that's huge, right? Can we talk about the technology market? It's not just one, right? It's more than vendors and manufacturers, right? Somebody has to make the firewalls and make the mainframes. Then you have the integrators, people who can go in and bring the mainframe up for you. We got people who are doing managed services. We got people doing managed security services. We've got consultants of all kinds and differences. So you have like 10, 12 different types of people who are on the outside that you're spending money with to bring on board. So there's some opportunities here, right? For some people to take leadership role and then combine some of the vendors together with some of the service and capability and present a more united front, right? Even though it might not be a single platform, anything that the people on the seller side can make it easier for the buyers to handle it, even if it's not automated in the background, you can actually offload some of that thing. So instead of buying my 70 security tools from 30 vendors, maybe I'll start to buy them from 20.
So that's where we're getting into, like, again, the MSSPs and like the VAR products.
Yep. Value-added resellers. So that was the market. So the reseller, I'm going to sell you the firewall. Value-added reseller, I'm going to sell you the firewall and I'm going to bring some consultants out to actually install it. Hey, I'm going to make it a managed service and run the firewall for you. Oh, okay. You don't have a SIM. I'm going to sell you a SIM. I'm going to install it for you. No, no, we don't want to install a SIM. Okay. I'm going to install it on my side. I'm going to use a SaaS base and I'm going to manage that for you. And I'm going to manage the contracts for you. So a lot of options for managed services capabilities to offload what you need from an internal IT standpoint. So that's the way to make it easier.
We'd actually like to see more partnerships between these different type of companies rather than messaging that a lot of people are sending out of, you're doing it wrong. You chose wrong. Yeah. You're bad at your job. Yeah. But if you get us, we can make you better and you'll have chosen right.
Yeah. And show your expertise. So if you guys have been in business for 500 years with 1,000 most smartest people ever, showcase that. Offload the complexities from me. Say, you know what? I'm going to take care of your SAP system, your HR system, your onboarding system, provisioning system, your retail PLC. I'm going to offload that for you. I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to show you what the support contract looks like for that on it. And I'm going to help secure it. I'm going to take care of some endpoint security and network security and cloud security. And I'm going to stand up the infrastructure for you. So a lot of ways you can take a lot of the infrastructure load off of internal IT and bundle it. So that means you have to be consistent on your side, right? I mean, you can't have compromises in service level agreements or get shaky on support. So that puts more pressure on people who want to be very, very good at taking a lot of disparate parts, monetizing it, right? You got to price it properly. Right? You're just going to want to suck you in the year one and then have a 30% jump when the 3-year renewal's out. You know, customers will look at you like, hey, what's going on here? But it's an opportunity to actually consolidate to make it easier for IT to spend, right? And the next generation of IT is going to be very, very particular about who it's doing business with. So tell me the problem you're going to solve. How are you going to handle the dashboard and reporting for me? What the cost structure looks like? I don't need to know what the firewall brand is and how fast the firewall is. I need security services on all my inbound and outbound traffic for my sites. You figure out the details for me. Prove to me that you got the expertise to understand what that looks like. Because when I do my enterprise architecture, I got this company listed here, and they taking care of these 8 and 9 different components on my architecture. And I have a cost structure in place to know what that looks like. So now it's time to get to people separating themselves. So you're not buying from 5, 6, 7, 8, and they have all this complexity here. So a lot of opportunity to lead buyer and seller side. So don't be hiding from us and holding back folks out there. And then by the way, that all-in-one dashboard that we've been looking for, right? Opportunities to actually get there, right? We've been talking about that for decades now. Single pane of glass on an interface that works well for me. So I don't have to go and log in to 5, 6, 7 different spots.
Do you believe it when people are talking about single pane of glass? Because sometimes that's used, but it's not true.
The best way to do it is to have consultants who come in and stitch together the back end infrastructure to display that single pane. specifically for that organization.
So and it's not what like, would single pane mean to you? Since we know that it's not always that that's it's sometimes it's a term that people heard and then they just use.
Yeah. So how often do I have to pivot out of the web interface I have open this open tab? So if I have this open tab here and it shows me a graphical interface of this actual business service that happen to have 20 containers, 20 MySQL databases, some systems that are sitting in a data center, some system that's sitting in AWS, some system that's sitting in Azure, but it graphically it shows all these different components. It shows capacity, performance. It shows security status of security controls.
Okay, so we're talking about a lot of widgets that are integrated, showing all the different tools and systems you have to work with.
Correct. Right now, the internal IT has to do it themselves. In this case, if you can help out, because in most cases, you bought it, and right now, you'd have to log in to different consoles to put it together. So, I mean, when I need to see a visibility, there's certain things I want to see that I can't buy off the shelf for somebody to show it to me.
Right. So how many computer screens you got?
Me, I got one right here. But if I run the system, I'll have to do multiple systems. Like if you're thinking about like a CISO, he may have his team logging into a vulnerability scanner, a SIM, something for incident response, a separate. And I guess also to help with the single pane is automation in the background. Mm-hmm. So the automation can help grab certain information to bring six different system pieces of information to my console. So it's not that the vendor built the single glass. Mm-hmm. Organizationally, there's certain things I need to do my work. We sat down, we went through, we mapped out the processes. So when I go to this screen, I'm looking for a field name, for a username, another one looking for a manager's name, another for a location, another for historical. So you can have people come in, either internal resources or external to come in to automate and orchestrate that workflow. So when I open up this dashboard and I hit business e-commerce site one, it's going to populate certain information. There's a lot of work going on in the background. So once again, making the interface easy, but it's actually complex in the background. So you take the kids.
You're saying then, like I'm framing it from like, I'm trying to message you and I'm trying to get better at my job and getting better at my job is helping you get better at your job.
Yes.
I'm thinking about this. So if I go back to this messaging, I'm not saying, hey, we offer a single pane of glass because we know that's a fairy tale. So we say, I can help you implement your tools into a single pane of glass. And here is how, X, Y, Z. Like these people, this API, this system, we put it here. Here's how we do it.
Right. You help me get to it. Because right now I have to manually do it and it's in pieces.
Okay.
So when we start talking about AI, robotic process automation, RPA, mm-hmm. SOAR, security orchestration automation, capabilities that multiple people have, different vendors, the different consultant firms that do pieces of it. So for right now, if I'm a CIO that wants to just answer the simple question, what infrastructure is supporting my current e-commerce site? Or how many APIs are you connected right now? I don't know. Maybe you got some manual visuals that the network team got. Maybe the virtualization team got some stuff. The cloud team got some stuff. You got to have a big old meeting for people to log into different systems. But from a business standpoint, you want to make sure your technical team knows what's running the infrastructure that powers the service. So people are giving us money and there's a system here and it's connected to 20 different databases. How long would it take you to just answer, yes, 20 different databases that's powering that service, right? We want to know that. In the old days, there'd be a lot of manual diagrams. Mm-hmm. But we know certain things. If certain things happen, we have processes for it. And someone might take a manual out, look at the process. This is how we deal with it. Well, those processes, you can start to look at optimizing the workflow by automating some of those processes. So when I have a threshold that gets hit, I got a notification. I want human authorization. Before I authorize, what things does the business decision maker need to know to say yes or no? If you documented the process from the backend system, pull that programmatically for me, present those four options, those indicators, so I can say make a yes, no decision. So the information itself is there. but everything's manual. It requires a lot of handoffs, but we can do a lot better. IT structure is request better and find partners out there in the marketplace who's willing to take the leadership role to actually make it work. So the simplest thing is, yeah, we used to have that problem. What happened? We hired this integrator. They do great work. Didn't get a Facebook ad, didn't get a LinkedIn thing. That's the best thing to know. We've been using those guys for 3 years.
So then how did you find them?
You're talking at a cocktail party, one CIO to the next. We used to have that problem. We went to XYZ.
We're getting into a thing now where a lot of marketing and selling and marketers and sellers will say it that way. We now know that IT people and security buyers have their own closed groups.
Yes. And you can sponsor those. Guess what?
Yeah. That's what I was getting at. I wonder how long, or maybe it's going to be before those groups are not safe anymore. Because now companies are hiring CISOs as part of their team infrastructure as advisors.
Yes.
But they're not just telling them how to make their product better. They're sending them out to make connections and it sounds to me like they want them to pitch the product, but unofficially.
So the way to do it properly, so we're never pitching. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to give me some money because mm-hmm. I solved a problem. So Diana, you may have some dirty dishes in the kitchen right now.
Yeah, would you do something about that, please?
Yes. Here is a dishwasher. And then here are the tablets that clean it for you. You don't have to hand wash them. And here's an instruction if you want to see how to start it out. It's one button that starts it. And then and an hour later, down there, all your dishes are clean. So I just solved a problem. But I didn't sell you a dishwasher tab, and instruction manual. I just said I can take care of that for you for $400. And it'll clean you in an hour, and you have clean dishes, completely dry.
So then so someone in, let's say we have a security buying group on, like it could be a Slack group, maybe some kind of special LinkedIn group, closed group. Is that the primarily LinkedIn, WhatsApp, like Telegram?
We're just in person. Because there's a lot of in-person local events in most cities. Mm-hmm. And you always have to have a sponsor to underwrite the cost of the food.
So the sponsor might be someone from that company. And then they come in and then they hear the sponsor will have all the food. They'll run the event. But then you'll see the logo of that company. Then they'll hear about and they'll be talking about probably a problem around whatever that is. If they're part of the if they're sponsoring it, they're probably going to want to talk about that specific problem about that company. So you're all right. Talking about that problem.
But you know the fun thing?
Understood that you're supposed to ask this person to see what it is.
Right. And there's a lot of controversy around that, right? Mm-hmm. So we know IT leaders will go out and instead of just paying, 15 CISOs could just go out to dinner and just pay their own bill. They don't. They have some organizations they want to join the network, but then it's underwritten by a sponsor. And then what they do is they put this wrap around and say, sponsor, thank you for paying for the food, but don't pitch us. Don't sell us. Just give us an environment or provide a thought leader on the topic, but don't pitch us. So a couple.
Okay. So then how is that done? Tell me about that. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this because I've seen a lot of early stage startups try that model. I don't know if the big companies do it, but I've seen a lot of early stage startups going there, and I feel strange about it, to be honest.
It's a very weird dynamic.
I feel like it's dirty.
Yes, weird because everybody's playing this game, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to an event that's sponsored, but you didn't pay for your own dinner, which you technically probably could pay for it. So truly, the IT people on the buying side never want to be pitched. They could just self hang out together anywhere they want and just pay their own bill. But in most cases,
you're saying that it's not like someone sending a message in a Slack group that's just continuous, and they know that there's going to be noise with some of the good stuff that comes in. This is going That would be no. You would immediately, you would have group community rules that say if you pitch anything, you're out.
But so in this case, like it's this, in it's person.
Sponsored. The people who are going to those things,
they're well, it's like a chapter for like, this particular topic.
Meet some cool people,
and then they hang out for the networking, but somebody else taking care of all the logistics. And then they somebody's underwriting the cost of the venue and the food. Oh, okay, you just froze for a second.
No, we froze. No, I can repeat it. I'm saying, okay. So it's a little bit different than what I'm thinking, because I similar. But in on one hand, where it's dirty, where it's really dirty and it's just one sided.
Okay.
So on one hand, where it's really dirty and one side is, say, someone infiltrates someone who's a CISO or something at a startup. They're the CISO advisor for a startup. And then they come into a Slack group. Someone says they have a problem and they present that solution where they're actually.
Oh, no. Yeah. So yeah. Then, different scenario.
But if they're actually sponsoring the event and people know about it, and when they show up, they know they're walking into that, then that's acceptable because both parties, like, they mutually agreed. It's not against any kind of community rules then.
But even there, they try to put more restrictions on. Make sure you don't pitch us, even though you're paying for the food. It's like, okay.
Well, so then that would mean that they would give a speech talking about the problem at the beginning. So I'm thinking about someone who did this with AI security, and they had one of those guys. Or maybe I'm thinking about something different where it was really an identity security solution. It was one of the two. But then they came in and they talked about the problem, the world need, but if they never go into the specific product, then it's not a pitch. It's, these are all the problems that we're trying to deal with and what I've personally seen in my tenure as a CISO.
Or what's the industry trends? What should you be looking at?
Right.
Or what's the pitfalls?
Companies are trying to solve it, but let's not name them.
Yeah. But still like a weird cat and mouse game, because you know the person up there works for X company who's also sponsoring the event, but then they tell you don't pitch, or maybe they might give you a 5-minute segment up front, talk about your company, and then do the generic, you know, topic specific conversation. But it's an interesting thing though, because it's a slow process when you think about it. Because basically what that means is those IT leaders don't have the funding to hire a consultant to solve problem X. Because that would be the faster way to do it, right? I have this problem. I don't know which product to use. I don't know the strategy. If I had the money and I could get it, I would just do it. So now I'm going to network with other people and maybe gain some knowledge to get insights on how I should address this problem. So, but then when I see somebody come and give a presentation, I know they work for this identity company or this DLP company, and we'll talk in general. But if I see something that's interesting, maybe I might ask them, hey, what about your product? But I think that's still a slow process, right? Because this long tail of, you're telling me there's an existing problem that you don't have a solution for. You can't answer how you're going to address it, how you can get the people for it, how to fund the tech. You're looking for, you call it guidance. And in most cases, if it's a business problem, you want to go pay to somebody to come in and help you get the answer in a very specific period of time. You don't want to be messing around for a long period of time trying to gain it. And if you're like a CIO and CISO that needs additional training, the fast way to do it is get official training. So you need budget. Once again, how do you communicate internally? I need some additional skill sets on AI. So I can get that, and I'll supplement that with going to like some different conferences to learn some more. But I don't want to be stuck in going a 2-year period to monthly dinner sponsored by vendors who kind of talk around it. Because you want to be able to be more relevant faster to your business colleagues. So it's just an interesting thing that go on out in the market. It's people like, I'm not going to sell you. Okay. But we appreciate you coming out and arranging this venue, paying for the venue and paying for the food. And we had a great time. I know about your family. You know about my family. And at some point, it's this weird marketplace of, we need to be laser focused in on finding what we need to help build our strategy to solve problems for our organizations. We don't want to be stuck in this nebulous thing of maybe buying, maybe selling. Okay, why are you hanging out with me? Like, hey, I feel like I have
to. Right. So really, people are going to these to get out of the house and meet new friends.
Meet new friends, which is a different question is, as an existing company or a startup, product management or a founder, we built something to solve a business problem. We want to find that problem in the field as fast as possible. And on the other side, they want to find a solution as fast as possible. So all this extra stuff at cocktail parties, I mean, we're wasting a lot of time here.
No, I hear you. And they get a lot of hype and a lot of buzz. And I've been hearing this, like, even though I wasn't with a vendor, I went to RSA last week, and even a VP of marketing came to me and told me, I don't know if we're sponsoring this year. It used to be that we could come and there were buyers looking to buy. Now they grab their swag and they run.
So we need to find a better way, because it's like you can be spending your time in a different way, right? You guys can hang out as colleagues and do your own thing. You don't need to spend company time trying to figure out strategy or something else. But yeah, so we need to get better at that, because it just makes everything cumbersome and adversarial, right? Because once you go to the conference, and I don't want to give my email or scam a badge because you guys are going to hassle me for the next 6 months.
So we're getting to something else on your list. What would a great GDM strategy be to you?
Make sure you know exactly who your product was designed to actually address. What's the problem? You should be able to hear it in conversation, in normal conversation lingo. The business really doesn't care how fast, how cool. Hell, it might not even need a dashboard. We got a lot of discussions on features. You just need to know. I don't even need to know if that's AI powered. Don't care. I don't care you have like 100 people peddling in the background.
People are just laughing when they hear that. Yeah. They're like, first of all, if you're using that, you probably don't even know the difference between AI, ML, AI.
Yeah. So what is it going to do? What are the board of directors talking about? Cutting costs, optimizing, expanding, growing. So when you tell
me, how do we get to those people? Because like, how are we going to get to that bar conversation or coffee shop conversation and find out what the real problem is, other than the one that we gleaned from some report?
So the good news is, so the business discussion happening here, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the interface for most changes to become more efficient, to make more money, to be more competitive? There's usually a technology component. So smart IT. Mm-hmm. Is that interface? IT interfaces with the business. IT is constantly looking for ways to help the business on its purpose and mission. Speed up competitive nature inside of a very, very competitive marketplace, because, hey, we need to do it faster, quicker. We need to use technology in such a way that enables a capability that we didn't have before. So, I mean, IT is always looking for help and ways to help the business. So, mm-hmm.
So you're talking about IT as innovators now, not just looking for innovative solutions.
IT is the key, right? Mm-hmm. So the boardroom, so business say, I want to go expand overseas. That one simple statement has a lot of requirements across the entire organization, from operations, HR, legal, and technology led by IT. So when IT is looking for something, right, it has to find the way to actually bring more to the business, because they don't, they're too slow. Guess what happens? The businesses, the chief operating officer and the CFO just came back from a Microsoft conference and got a boardroom pitch by Microsoft high-level executives. And you know what that looks like, right? They are pumped up. Microsoft told them a whole bunch of stuff that their solution could help their business save money. So they come back to their organization and bring the CIO in and say, hey, we need to go Microsoft. And CIO like, whoa, where you got this come from? So the CIO want to be the one who goes out there first and explores what the technology capabilities of innovation will allow our organization to get better. So that technology is represented inside your enterprise architecture. It's representative. So you have a new capability or something, you can actually affect your business model, which can help with revenue and helping keep expenses down, which is critical. So the fast.
Can you think of an example right now?
Just simple things of payment, right? We take cash at the cashier. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're going to have something where we can handle credit cards. It's a credit card machine. Well, now the machine now can handle an Apple Pay at the checkout at the grocery store. That's technology that was put into the store to handle different ways to handle a payment. By the way, we don't need you to even come to the store. Why don't you just order it? Where are you going to order it from? The website. IT got to go build out infrastructure to have a website, which has to be hooked into different payment systems. Because now you want to have 5 or 6 different payment systems to handle it from the website. By the way, we don't want to wait for people on a computer. We want to build an order on the smartphone. I got to go build a mobile app for that. So all these capabilities are being built, supporting the business model, different ways to capture more money. And by the way, when they buy a certain thing, they're more likely to buy another thing. How do they do that? IT has systems to collect information on every transaction coming from in-store, web, mobile. All those back-end systems are working and processing that CIO is running all that infrastructure.
So now you're getting at something like say I go on Amazon and I go to put something in my cart. Say they usually put 3 more on the bottom, like buyers who buy this. Or customers who buy this kind of thing normally buy these 2 things. Here's what it costs in a group. Click this to get all of it. Or they can make it hard for me to get that one thing. They say, oh, only people with this subscription get it at this price. But then that's the automatic thing. And if you click it, then you sign into a prescription. So you have to change the setting to not have that and to just get that one thing. So what you're looking at is some kind of system for IT buyers.
Technology enabled. All that features, the hover over.
So it says, oh, you just got this. You might want this.
And that's real time. So we have developers, right? IT is leveraging developers to code that. And they're working very closely with the marketing team who built this e-commerce site. So then every time you hover over something pop up, a developer did that. And then when you link and it's pulling information on your address after they ask you to log in. How you're logging in, you have identity systems on the back end that's authenticating you as an individual user, which goes to a system of record that might be sitting in a mainframe in a data center. So now we got networks, we got mainframes, we got connectivities, we got API, we got email front, a website front end, we got a mobile app. So every component was technology enabled, and developers, infrastructure people, architects, engineers. And CIO got all that on their plate. And then, by the way, we got nation states and criminals try to hack that information. So they spun out and say, hey, we're going to have a security team to help out with that. So this is the world they live in. But everything that's going on that can be mapped out in enterprise architecture that enables that. So when the business people are talking here and the IT leaders are listening, they're listening for problems and challenges and ways technology can help, which means they need to maintain current systems. By the way, you keep saying to patch your system when it's a vulnerability. When you're patching a system, it's unavailable. So not a very easy thing. So you got to put security controls in place. So you have to maintain availability all the time, finding ways to keep it up to date, to innovate and constantly update it and open it to other suppliers. Because every time the business person says, hey, we now got a new supplier, we need to connect with them. That's a requirement for maybe API. And then legal has to take a look at contracts, what the contracts look like for that. And there's a lot that goes in to make that web page works, that mobile works. There's a lot of going on in the background. So from that's IT doing that. And they've been pressured, by the way, ML, AI, all these different components. They got to do it and do it safely while keeping systems up and running. Because now we got them on the smart wearables. We're going to have the smart glasses. We're going to have driverless vehicles. All these systems are talking to legacy systems in the background. They're talking to modern middleware, modern front end. Very, very complex. So when you think about this, what IT leadership has to think about, we want to spend less time from the marketplace. They can make that easier for IT. If you got a product that the CIO or the CISO might want, remember that they have all this other pressure to make all that stuff work. And for the end user, it looks very, very easy until they clutter up the dashboard and the user experience is clunky because they got all these pop-ups and like, I don't know, order this thing.
Like you're getting to a point now. I guess I've been doing this for a little bit too long. Someone gifted my sister a smart coffee cup.
Ooh, nice.
It looked cool on the box, but I'm like, yeah, we're not keeping this here. Because, like, you open it up and it looks like a plastic coffee cup, but then it's like you plug this into this and you control it with your phone to keep it at a steady temperature. And I'm like, and what else is it? And I'm like, okay, well, the landlord installed a smart microwave that we can't figure out. The oven even, we, same thing. So now luckily our refrigerator is normal. So then you have all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, first of all, think about us as even users anyway. Our phones are always going dead and we're always losing them.
Yes.
And then otherwise, I'm like, I've been working in AppSec and product security. I'm looking at that saying, oh no. Do you know that we can get like some sort of weaponized bots that can attack us from our house now with all that stuff? No, that's coffee cups. Gotta go. I draw the line here.
And that's how, even in your homes, right? You have a lot of devices in your home, like you're talking about. So somebody needs to vet that. So that's a governance function of enterprise risk management, even in your house. Like, what new tech should I bring into the house? And then, by the way, it's going to require passwords. The device wants to know a password for your Wi-Fi.
But it's not just your house. It's people are bringing this stuff that's connected to all the stuff that's in their house into the work. And then we're talking about the governance, but we're also talking about privacy issues. Like, I declined to work for a company because they were going to put all of these agents on my computers and my phone. I'm like, And it's not that I do anything wrong. It's just like, I wanted to have a flexible working environment. It's another business if I work at 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.
It's a lot that goes into getting technology to work, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just say, so, and it's a lot of problems and challenges that's open to new innovation. So a lot of opportunity for the sellers to come up with something cool, but just mean you need to intentionally design the experience to track down people with those problems and make the buying experience as easy as possible. Because a lot of times you're filtering their mailboxes because they are very, very busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we're getting, that's why there's a system now of people are treating inboxes, like I call it the hot potato inbox.
So
because now they just look like chat messages. And sometimes I don't even understand any messages I'm getting from executives because they're playing hot potato with their inboxes. Yeah.
So while it's a great solution to build a solution that manages your inbox to automatically respond, block, delete. So you got solutions out there now, AI powered to help.
No, I saw that. It's like Motion or something. But I learn, it's a little old school, but I learn and plan by actually doing. If I use AI to do any of this stuff, I'm not going to remember anything that I read or that I was supposed to do.
But most of it's going to be behind the scenes. It's just going to be helping with the recommendations or taking care of back-end tasks that you would normally have to manually do.
That's fine. Like some of the simple automated stuff, but responding to people. And then I feel like that's going to create a bigger problem.
Right. You won't know what's been filtered. Like certain calls and messages were filtered, but why were they filtered? They're a filter based off some logic that a machine made.
They didn't get the nuance behind what... Because like even me as a human, I don't always get the nuance between what these like senior executives are trying to say to me. Because they have like a code, and some of it's corporate code, but then it's also like passive voice. So like, I think that it was a direction, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, luckily for all those complex and moving parts, that's why the smart IT buyer seller workspace construct was created. So we got all kind of cool and interested people come on here to discuss these different areas, these different topics. So fun.
So they're going to keep coming onto the podcast, and that's how they're going to. So okay, so that's where we're getting into the smart IT model. It's beyond creating a company model. It's also you're going to have a lot of people on here talking about this model in this way and relating it to their business.
Right. So we got one, which is smart IT model, is built for IT leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everything from cybersecurity rolls up through IT the way it's structured. And it's structured that way for a certain reason, because the cybersecurity program rolls up into the enterprise risk management, which helps support the enterprise architecture, which is the technology layer between IT and the business. So that's all from the internal side. So that's helping support the workspace construct, which has helped with the this whole buyer-seller marketplace mess.
You never know. You may actually have stumbled onto something that you didn't think you were going to do. You may become a founder of a smart IT marketplace.
You never know. I keep begging people because, you know, companies spend so much time telling how great they are. Their websites tell you the history. I'm like, this is going to solve my problem. Right now I got stuff, got Flash, I got manually fixed my clock. I got all these different streaming services. I'm talking into it. I got multiple remotes. There's a lot of products that still require a lot of intervention from the end user. And I really want people to take more leadership role to make it even easier, right? So actually in the book that's coming up, so I know I mentioned that to you before, but this business fable is going to kind of address some of these issues of finding a great problem and making a solution for it. But the failure of the founder, just because it's more than just the great products. You're going to run into a lot of lessons learned and how you focus on that business model to be successful. So the problem can meet the solution and be happily ever after.
You're going to be at the next RSA sale in your book?
Oh, ooh,
or we're going to see you at the local, or I have to go to a local Austin coffee shop to get a signed copy?
You may have to. I might have to get on an airplane and just traveling all over the country.
You travel all over the country, like going to. Oh, I love book signings.
Let's do it.
So I'm gonna go to your book signing.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. You can come to San Francisco, come to Oakland.
Yeah, I love those areas. Yeah.
Sacramento, because like those are. I'm in a weird like triangle in the
middle of places. Yes. Well, I do need to do the book signing for the other book, System of Controls. That was the next generation of cybersecurity risk management. I'm actually about to release the audiobook version of that here shortly.
Nice. Okay, so now that's easier for me to get. So, though, even though I want to read your books eventually, but an audio might be good.
And by the way, for anybody listening,
the dog.
Yeah, perfect. I was going to do it myself. I said, "Oh man, that's a lot of talking." You know, straight.
He
voice.
Is a good talker.
Huh?
See, is a good talker.
Well, it's a 368 page book.
Oh, you're probably going out. You're going to just get an AI voice to do it.
And I didn't want to do that. So I hired somebody to do it. Having lunch with a client and a person had a conversation with somebody else. And in his spare time, guess what he does?
He's a recording artist.
He is. So I got him. He did the bulk of it. So I read the preface, which is like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He records the other 13 and a half hours.
That's great. I like that better because I don't actually like these AI voices that people are
weird.
Using. You can tell. And there's also like, there's a difference between what a real sound recording studio sounds like and a real actor's voice reading words sounds like.
It's a huge difference.
And
so
a
I'm happy.
Upper mic.
Yes. So I was impressed what he did. Next week or two, I'm going to get that released out in the public.
Well, I'm excited. So I got to pick that up and that's got to be my new dog walking inspiration.
Yes. And it's not a technical book, by the way, System of Controls. So the hardcover is out, the Kindle's out. It's been out for like 2 years. People always ask, oh my God, it's going to be too technical. Nope. You can talk about a lot of aspects around enterprise risk management, a lot of the business alignment stories that people who...
No, that's great. That's what we really, really need to hear. That's just... Kind of reminds me of when Richard Feynman has a book like Richard Feynman Explains Physics in Six Easy Pieces or something like that. I probably mixed up the title and the words in the wrong place, but you get the idea. Because he's, you know, he was a Nobel Prize winning physicist. And he it was to the point where he was so out there, he didn't even use the real symbols. He made up his own. He's like, I'm still solving all this stuff. Like, whatever.
So that's cool.
He created a book based on a series of lectures to teach physics to entry-level students. But then when he did it, there's no math involved. There's no symbols. So he's like, let's just strip it and let's just get to the story here. This is what we're trying to do. And here's the general landscape of things and what's going on. Now you understand physics.
And that's the key thing. You want to be understood.
Yeah, yes. You're doing. You're like, yes. Here's IT, but we're going to remove all the data. We're going to remove, we're going to. So you're saying that you're doing something like that?
Yeah, I guess it's a cool thing. It originally was going to be the smart IT book itself. Huh? Then I wanted to really do something for the security industry. So I ended up changing direction, rewriting it for cybersecurity people. So the components of smart IT is embedded all inside the book. So it's the IT's guide to managing cyber risk.
Great. So do you have a website for this and everything?
Yeah, I'm actually just updated the website to support the launch of the audiobook. And I got to
share this stuff. I got to start pitching you.
Yeah, so it's a fun read.
Okay, and I got to get a bit. Okay, so that's what I got to do. I'm not going to pitch it now. I'm going to read it or listen to it. Yeah. Then I'm going to start pitching.
I love it.
Yes. I have that time on my hands, man.
I know. So
my dog walks are getting longer and longer.
Wow. So you're going to learn more during your walks now.
And
you're
going to be. And I'm like, well, what am I doing?
Being inspired. You're learning. You're exploring.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure that out. Sometimes I'll bring my computer or my phone or something out with me, even though I should be engaging more with them. So if I could learn something while I'm doing that, it'd be great.
I love it. Well, this has been an awesome conversation.
It is fun. And you're so smart and so focused. And even though I'm coming from the opposite side of things, I feel like we're on the same page. And it makes me feel a little less cynical because I'm always like, why are we doing this? What is the point of this?
There's always the next day always gives us an opportunity to just improve something just a little bit more. And that's the good thing.
Right. And you inspire me. Like one day, maybe when I get it together, I'll offer some consulting or create a side little business of buyer enablement and then work with people like you to build it to the initial model, because I wouldn't necessarily know what to build myself. I just have a general idea of what needs to be. I'd be like, okay. So I start building these reports, these documents, these diagrams, and then
nice.
You guys help me.
And by the way,
it's really helping you.
I would love to just be blown away by products and services. I'm like, man, come on, guys, blow me away. Like, mm-hmm. When you get something, it's like, it's just okay. Hey, yeah, but blow me away. So the book, the business fable, technology in there is going to be something that I really want from a personal standpoint. So I'm going to leave it as a surprise what it is. So it's right on the edge of what's technically possible. We're very close. So I'm like really excited for people that somebody to read it and say, we're going to build that just for you, Whale. So next time you in this environment, that setting, you're going to experience it. So that's what I'm pumped up for.
So now I'm going to look for this little surprise. It's like the person jumping out of the cake. We're back to cakes again.
I like it. Yeah.
I saw someone eating a cake on a. No, you're the first person that mentioned cake. The seven legs, like, oh yeah, we were talking about interviewing and people asking what your favorite thing to do is, and you're going and they're expecting something like the seven layers of like, you know,
technology. OSI model. Model. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, they had cake in the office. That was good. You can't go. That's on your last day.
First day.
But then on your first day, it's like, especially if you have a really good reputation and they really vetted you hard, then they're looking at you and then you're looking at them and then you're going to see who's going to laugh first. Okay, so if I ever join a company that has a solution for that you need at a company that you have, which may, like, hopefully maybe it'll be something mentioned in this book and I might find that unicorn. I need to bring cake.
Yes, I'm gonna work that into the story now.
Okay.
We're gonna upgrade from 7-layer to 10-layer.
I think I'm hungry. I think I'm gonna go buy some cake.
I know. Right. I think we're gonna eat cake if you wrap this session up.
Okay. Well, good to see you. Stay in touch. Come to California, and when I get my act together, I'll visit you in Austin.
This has been fun, Diana.
Okay. Bye-bye, William.